Midday Cafe is brought to you by Worldwide MTC Studios and the following sponsors. Skype Meeting Broadcast. Skype Meeting Broadcast is a new component of Skype for Business. As part of Office 365 and Skype for Business Online, Skype Meeting Broadcast lets you produce, host, and broadcast meetings to large online audiences, up to 10,000. And it's how we broadcast Midday Cafe. TriCaster by NewTek. TriCaster is the most complete multi-camera production and media publishing solution for creating visually stunning programs for live streaming, online video, projection, post-production, broadcast, and social media. TriCaster is how we premix and deliver our shows on Midday Cafe. Magwell USB Capture SDI. Convert pre-mixed audio-video content from SDI to HDMI to a USB 3.0 Skype meeting broadcast ready signal. Magwell is how we deliver our pre-mixed content from the TriCaster to our Skype meeting broadcasts here for Midday Cafe. Skype TX with QuickLink TX. Connect with millions of Skype users worldwide to create unmissable high-quality live broadcasts. With enhanced control and management features, Skype TX via QuickLink TX allows multiple HD quality audio and video feeds to produce the highest class of broadcast integrations. Skype TX on QuickLink is how we at Midday Cafe bring in our remote presenters for you weekly. Microsoft Azure. Microsoft Azure is a growing collection of integrated cloud services, analytics, computing, database, mobile networking, storage, and web for moving faster, achieving more, and saving money. Our site for Worldwide MTC Studios is hosted on Microsoft Azure, and all of our components run on the Microsoft Cloud Azure. Sitecore, the Sitecore experience platform. Put your customers at the center of everything you do, creating customers for life. WWMTCstudios.com is proudly run on the Sitecore experience platform. And Perficient. Perficient is a leading digital transformation consulting firm serving Global 2000 and enterprise customers throughout North America. With unparalleled information technology, management consulting, and creative capabilities, Perficient delivers vision, execution, and value with outstanding digital experience, business optimization, and industry solutions. WWMTCstudios.com was proudly designed and built by Perficient. Finally, visit a Microsoft Technology Center today. Contact your Microsoft rep in order that you can receive the best in solution briefings, architectural design sessions, proof of concepts, and more at your local Worldwide Microsoft Technology Center.
Oh, yeah. You got it. That's right.
Hey, welcome to Midday Cafe. I hope you got your cup of coffee. I am your host, Mike Giannotti, and I'm joined today by
Rich Ross, architect here in the MTC, along with Mike.
And Rich is a new, relatively new addition. Still? I shouldn't say new, because he's immersed and all over. So we're going to be hitting Rich up in a little bit to, instead of our normal tech news, he's going to talk to us about the three takeaways from Microsoft Build.
Yes.
We're going to have that, and Oh boy, now we're having all my dismissals. There we go. Isn't that beautiful? Quickly go through those. There we go. After Rich, we're going to be having today's feature, which is What's New with Delve. And we actually have from Redmond, by the power and magic of Skype, we're going to have Kem Aiken joining us.
Excellent.
And he'll be showing up instead of me diving and back here. But before we get started, you know, it was a great weekend.
Yeah.
You got back from Build, obviously.
I did. Yeah. I spent most of my weekend doing laundry and you know, unpacking from all of that.
Fun stuff.
Yes.
Yes. Anything else exciting?
We got to see Villanova game. That was awesome.
Villanova game. Are you part of the Nova Nation?
I'm not, but as with any Philly team that's doing well, we're certainly rooting behind
them.
Yes.
So for all those out there rooting for Carolina this week, what do we say? Boo! Yeah. So I'm actually a UConn fan. So
okay.
The Lady Huskies.
Awesome.
And I don't want to even distinguish because they are just so dominant.
They are.
Once again, for the fourth year in a row in the finals, they've won at the previous three.
Going for four in a row.
Going for four in a row. Awesome. Yes, they're currently riding a 79-game winning streak, which is not the record. The previous two ties for the record, both by the Huskies, 90 and 90.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Hell of a roll.
So my Goomba, Gino Auriemma, molto bene. Huh? So he's been doing a great job with them, and we wish them luck as well.
Yeah.
And actually tell everybody who made it. So that's what you did.
Yep. And you?
I had a little, you know, I like to get out.
Okay.
And the wife and I had to do some shopping.
Okay.
You know, did a few things, but went to Sam's Club this weekend.
Okay, good.
Which inspired me.
To
Dub Smash.
Oh, no.
So, yes, I have started, you know, we all know what the internet is really for, folks. It is not for productivity. It is not for...
Cat videos?
Cat videos definitely are part of the internet, but I'll just bring this up here. We can just leave this in back. There we go. Oh, and so here we are. And so I've started dub smashing. So if you follow me on any of my channels, this was playing in Sam's Club. Oops, I love how I go backwards.
I like it.
So I started dub smashing, much to my 18-year-old daughter's eternal horror. She just can't take it that her dad is doing stupid stuff like this. But yes, there we go. That was my weekend. Steven.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
How about yourself?
I played football Saturday.
Ooh.
And yesterday, in this terrible weather we had, I was on the roof all day tearing off shingles.
Oh, man.
He was getting ready to try to play. You ever the song, Come Sail Away With Me?
Oh, yeah.
Come Sail Away. Steve was about to come sail away right off the roof.
Grab that tarp and we're off.
Yeah.
There you go. So I'm glad we're all alive and well for today.
Yeah.
And without further ado, you were out at Microsoft Build. And what is Build, for those who might not know about it?
Sure. So Build is Microsoft's developer conference. It's typically held around this time of year. And it's the last couple of years has been held out in San Francisco at the Moscone Center.
Yes.
It was a great event. When tickets went on sale back in January, they sold out within 5 minutes.
Whoa, wait a minute.
For thousands of developers.
For thousands?
Yes.
Thousands of developers in 5 minutes.
In 5 minutes.
Because it's pretty popular.
It is very popular. It's a tough ticket to get.
It is.
Because there's a lot of great content there. But what's great is that even if you couldn't make it to Build, and there are some links that we'll share with you that you can get to the videos that of all the sessions that they posted.
So all of them will have links to it.
Actual sessions themselves, but things like the labs where they don't necessarily have a video there, they have a link to all of the labs. So you can, if you were not able to get there, be able to experience it much like everybody who was at Build. So you can get, we'll post both those links to the videos and the labs after the session.
Very nice. So look afterwards on the archive. We'll have all that. You can get to that. But you had some takeaways.
I did.
Because it was pretty killer.
It was. It was the first 2 days. It's a 3-day event. The first 2 days are basically the keynote events.
Yep.
And there's a lot of great information and a lot of great messages that we want to make sure all the developers get. So for me, these were the important ones that I was really focused on. The first being that with the anniversary of Windows 10 being launched in the summer, there's an anniversary update coming out as well.
An anniversary?
Yes. It's 1 year.
That's a song. I'm probably dating myself. I think it was Little River Band. Do you remember them?
I remember Little River Band. I don't remember the song, though.
Happy anniversary, baby. Okay, I'll shut up.
That's it.
We'll just call it a yeah, and so anniversary of Windows 10.
Right, so it's coming this summer, and it's going to be something free for all consumers.
Wait a minute,
Windows
10.
Free, nothing. It's part of the fact that you're running Windows 10. It'll come as an
beautiful
update. So they're making a bunch of improvements, improvements around Windows Hello, which is how you would authenticate to the app.
I actually just turned my computer on, and what did it do?
It asked where you
it
were.
It saw my face, and it said, hello,
yes.
Log me right in.
So what's great about the anniversary update is that you're going to be able to do that not only from the login screen off the Windows, but with apps, so using biometrics inside the applications for authentication.
What about web-based apps?
Well, and that's the other. So Edge is going to provide support for that if the underlying web application builds that in. So
that is awesome. Because the reason why I bring that up is I have a lot of clients who have task workers.
Sure.
They have their corporate intranets, and they have these kiosk stations. They don't want the users to log fully in.
Okay.
They want them to access their resources off of their Office 365 stuff. So we're building in the support. So if they have a device with Windows Hello, they could actually come up to the and log into, for example, a 365 session.
They could. Yeah. I'm guessing that I don't know the exact apps that Edge would
support.
Boom! I think that's one of them. Yes.
Yes. Awesome.
So that's great news. Also on the included with the anniversary update is some expanding of things called more personal computing. Now there are already things inside of Windows 10 for speech and voice, like Cortana.
Yes, there is.
Gaze and gesture, so being able to see what you're looking at and how you're moving. But one of the things that they're really making improvements around is ink, because about 70% of the people on a daily basis write with pen and paper at least an hour a day.
Yeah.
And about a third write for more than 3 hours a day. So having those ink features available inside of your desktop in Windows 10 is what we're moving towards. So they showed some great advancements around that.
Okay.
Using rulers and combination
of
touch and ink.
That was cool. They showed on the screen the person had a virtual ruler, and then they drew along the along the edge, and because the ruler was there, it actually, as the line went, it made it adhere just as if you'd done pen and paper.
Yep. Which
Dude,
is
that
great.
Was rocking.
And custom rules as well. So they had the Adobe app where you could do a French curve in there. And, so you can build your own as
a developer. So Adobe's building native support in their tool sets.
Exactly.
Graphic designers.
The other big thing around the anniversary update is, and this is actually something that's out now, but it was kind of mentioned on the same updates, is that your Xbox One can be made into a developer kit machine. Yes.
My Xbox can be a dev machine.
You can build Xbox games now. Now there's a application. You would go to the store and get the dev mode activation app. Once you do that, you go through the activation process. There's a few steps in there, and then your Xbox now has two modes: your regular mode and a dev mode.
Very nice.
While you're in your dev mode, you can from Visual Studio say deploy to my
and test
Xbox
it out.
And test it out.
That is cool.
That is great. We'll have links for that in the show as well.
Very nice.
You can see that. So that's
so
all
that's the Windows 10 stuff.
Yes, that's all Windows 10 stuff. Also, part of the day one keynote was something that I'm really interested in, which is the bots framework. So if you think about an application or a website you go to, and you might get brought a little pop-up window that has this chatbot starting, and they might want to start a conversation with you. To do that, you can certainly do that as a developer, but you've got to build all those hooks yourself.
Right.
So what the bot framework is giving you is the ability to go ahead and very easily, with just some simple C# or Node-based code, write an API that web API that you can put information into. So
cool.
You could say there are a couple of examples up on the website, but let's say for the build example, they were saying, "Tell me about all of the Azure sessions," as a bot example. So you could type that into the chat window.
Right, and have it pull it back.
And it gives you back all that. And if it's more than a certain number of results, you can do more and page back and forward and all that.
Sweet.
All that's great. So there's a bot builder SDK, so you can go ahead and build those. Bot builder.
Very cool.
Like the naming. So you can build your own SDKs or build your own build your own bots, and then they have a bot connector, which then lets you connect those bots to either web pages or SMS or Skype or Slack. So there's a whole list of them that you can connect them to. Over time, as people start connect to these things, they'll have a bot directory that's coming along soon as well. So you'll be able to go and see an inventory of what's out there. But for the link that's out there for dev.botframework.com, you can go out there and see the handful that are already out there.
Dev.botframework.com. And if you have trouble, you can always Bing, your Microsoft bots.
Yes, excellent.
And then this one, I was pretty stoked about this.
Yeah, we've been really wanted to hear what the announcement was going to be around this. So this is all related to Xamarin. Xamarin was...
Can you say that again?
Xamarin?
Say it with some panache.
Xamarin.
What a name. So Xamarin, which was one of the premier tools for developing on iOS and Android. Somebody bought them.
Yes, guess who? Microsoft bought them. We announced that we were going to acquire them probably about a month ago at this point, and it finally became final in about the 10 days before build. And what's really great about that announcement and all of the information around it that they released at build is that Xamarin, which was something you used to get as an add-in for Visual Studio,
and it cost at the time
it was about $1,000 for a license for Xamarin
for iOS and another
for Android.
So you're talking a couple of grand just to get in the... So a lot of developers who were kind of those groundswell guys were kind of...
After already paying for MSDN and maybe some
developer
tools and those kind of things.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
Yep.
And what are we doing?
So what they announced was that every edition of Visual Studio, so if you got an MSDN with Enterprise or Professional, you automatically get the ability to build Xamarin apps.
Awesome.
And...
What about the community edition that, you know, like students use, it's that they can get for free?
Absolutely. So I'm glad you asked, because the free edition also has the ability to include Xamarin with it.
So all the students out there can start developing using our Xamarin in Visual Studio, and they can help me to dub smash better.
They can. They can build you a better dub smash app.
I'm just saying, people. I need my dub smash. My daughter needs to be, you know, horrified repeatedly.
That's what kids are for.
That's what kids are for.
So basically, in the end, you get the ability to publish, as Mike said, iOS and Android using C#, using or F# if you're into that language as well, directly from Visual Studio, and with no limits on the app size, which is one of the things that you had in one of the free versions of Xamarin. So it's all great news for developers on that front. And also, if you're developing on the Mac.
Yeah.
Because you still do that here. Xamarin Studio is also going to be available as part of your Visual Studio Professional or Enterprise benefits that you get. So as a developer, you can use that. Or you can also use the Xamarin Studio Community Edition for free.
Wow.
So a lot of great news. If you're interested in developing for mobile cross-platform apps, Xamarin is something you should definitely be taking a look at.
Yeah, I mean, again, a lot of folks who were not necessarily in the enterprise space or others may not have made that jump previously because of the cost.
Absolutely.
Now that's no more barrier. I mean, if you're out there, if you have access to Visual Studio, which everybody does, starting from Community Edition on up, you can get Xamarin.
Yeah, and one of
rock and roll.
The big benefits around Xamarin is you end up being able to share a lot of the code that you write. So you can create your app logic, you can create your user interface logic, and most of that will go across all the platforms, Windows, iOS, and Android, and you have to do a very little bit of platform-specific code to make certain features pop out for you.
So it sounds like it was a great week with all that. I mean, that's
really
just your top three.
That's my top three. That doesn't go into all the people I talk and all the great developers I met out there. It was a great couple days out in San Francisco.
Awesome. So we're going to look forward. Rich is going to be putting together some developer sessions to be diving in. So we're looking forward to that. He's in-house. And I guess with that, I want to thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I have somebody else coming in right now. So we're going to ring him in.
Yeah.
And you're going to do a class. Star Trek kind of thing. He's going to go and get teleported instantly out.
There you go.
So let me go ahead. But thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
And we're going to join we have a session awaiting us with Kay from the Delve team. So we're going to, without further ado, let us dial in. And we're going to join our session here. And there he is, Kem Aiken. Hey, Kem, how you doing?
Hey, Mike. How are you doing? Thanks.
Very good. You want to share video with us? We can all take a look at you. All right.
Yeah, sure. Let me do that. I'm also trying to share my screen as well.
All righty. And there we go. We got it. So you can just do your screen if you want.
Yeah, let me just do the screen because for some reason my camera is pointing towards the back of my laptop, not the front.
Couldn't get that to work. Good.
But, all right. Let me know if you guys could see my slides.
Yeah, we got you up right up in here. And before we kick off, you want to tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm a product manager, senior product manager with Dell and Office Graph. And I've been focused on, for the last couple of years, on making Dell a very people-centric experience. As a matter of fact, in today's session, we'll go over how Dell is evolving, how it started as a content-centric experience, and now how we are pivoting the user experience and the scenarios around people, and managing knowledge around people and making that much more discoverable. So that's essentially what I plan to cover today, just to give you guys a quick overview of what Dell is, as well as a recap on the latest announcements we have done just a few months back on Dell profiles and what that means for Dell going forward.
Awesome. I know there's a lot of great things that came out. And just for those who are watching, just to kind of reiterate to you today, so if you have questions or anything during the session, certainly if you look below the video, you will see there is our little Q&A, moderated Q&A panel, and Steven is over in the producer seat. He'll be teeing up those questions and ready to rock and roll as we go, and we'll cut in once in a while. And so I'm excited. So you ready to begin?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. So why don't, Steven, why don't we put him full screen? Take it away.
Great, great. So as I mentioned, I'm going to cover a couple things today. We'll talk about Dell. I have a few demos as well. We're also going to talk about Office Graph. And some of you might have heard about Office Graph. Office Graph is really that intelligence engine that runs within Office 365. And it allows us to power these experiences such as Dell. And I'll talk to you about how we build the graph, and there's some common questions that come with the graph and whatnot. And then we'll switch gears and we'll dive deep into Dell as well, and we'll do some demos. But before I do that, I just wanted to explain quickly, you know, what are we really trying to solve here? What is the goals of these experiences and these technologies? And essentially, we're really trying to improve knowledge discovery and knowledge refined, basically what we call search and discovery across Office 365. And you know, when you think of Office 365 today, it's essentially a set of apps and set of experiences. You know, you have your Outlook, your calendar, OneDrive, SharePoint, Yammer, you know, recent additions such as the Video Portal. You name it, we have it, which is great. But at the heart of it, many of these apps, many of these experiences were really designed to work perfect standalone. It meaning that if all you did was just use email throughout the day, then you were fine. You would just live in your inbox. But chances are you're collaborating, you're sharing, you're having to, you know, work on documents in OneDrive, on SharePoint, share, maybe have discussions in Yammer around those documents. And as that's happening, things are getting sprinkled across these different apps. And it becomes really hard to find what you're looking for across all of these different tools that you might be using throughout the day. You know, one example is if you're trying to find a document, you know, where do you start? Is it an email attachment? Maybe you search in Outlook. Maybe it's in your OneDrive. Maybe it's in a SharePoint Teams site that you forgot where the URL is. And, you know, it's really hard to remember those things. Maybe it's in Yammer. Why should you, as a user, have to remember where stuff is while it's in the cloud, and how can we help you better find that information as well as discover information that's really relevant for you? So essentially, it's about improving the efficiency of these tools. And when we talk about these tools, you know, we talk about search and discovery. You know, they're really two different things. You know, search is when you know there's something out there, but you don't know where it is. And that's when you're trying to find that piece of information. While discovery today relies on you asking around, looking around, talking to people. And you know, if, depending on the size of your company, if it's a medium-sized company, a large-sized company, discovery is something that is very, very challenging. You know, you don't have the time to ask around. You don't have time to look around these different SharePoint team sites or these different OneDrives to see if there's any recent updates that might be relevant for you. And that's where some of our intelligence really comes into play. So essentially, we're trying to improve this problem we have with our tools. But there's also a cultural problem as well. What I mean by that is, just like we have created silos within the apps we have, we also have silos within the teams we work. And what I mean by that is, there could be another guy sitting right next to you working on something very similar, something very relevant for you that you would have never known until you know, you guys connected somehow. And you know, when you think of trying to find a subject matter expert, somebody who's an expert on a topic, or somebody that might have been already working with this customer or that account, how do you make that information and those people really easy to discover and easy to find? And that's essentially the essence of what we're trying to do. You know, both breaking down silos within the tools, as well as breaking down silos within the teams, which is more of a cultural challenge that some of these experiences, such as Dell, really help and address. So how are we going to do this? Well, we have this thing called Office Graph. And what Office Graph is this intelligent engine that sits behind the tools you use, such as Outlook, SharePoint, OneDrive, Yammer, Calendar, and whatnot. And over time, it listens to your behavior. It listens to your activity. And it learns over time by applying machine learning principles. Now, Office Graph has two key ingredients. The first is what we call objects. And these objects could be like documents, meetings, SharePoint sites, video portal, you know, videos posted in the portal, you know, physical and digital things that you would interact with on a day-to-day basis. But the real secret sauce of the graph is not the objects, but it's the signals. And that's the second key ingredient. And signals are generated by every time you share, you collaborate, you set up meetings, you present, and your behavior around those objects is what we call signals. So how do we generate the graph? Well, we take the objects you work with, we take the signals that you generate, and then we apply machine learning principles on top of that, and then we start to build relationships. So essentially, Office Graph is built on relationships. It's built on relationships of you and other objects within the within your world. And of course, the number one question we get is, well, what about privacy? Like, are you mining? Are you looking at everything I do? And the answer is absolutely not, because Office Graph respects all existing permissions. And what I mean by that is, if I share a document with Mike, only Mike will be able to discover that document. Nobody else will be able to see that document. If I email Mike, that's a signal between Mike and I that is private to us, and only Mike and I will be able to benefit from that signal. So meaning that if there's another third person in the room and he's not part of our conversation, nor if I have shared that document with him, he'll never be able to get those insights. So we're very, very sensitive about the privacy and how we inherit existing permissions. As a matter of fact, I mentioned that we have signals in the graph. We have two types of signals. There is private signals and there's public signals. Private signals are like emailing Mike, I set up a calendar with Mike, you know, one-on-one, private things. And then public signals are, what if I post a question to a DL or to an Office 365 group or an open Yammer group? And that's a public signal that others will also be able to benefit from, and others will also be able to search for. So hopefully this gives you a quick overview of what Office Graph is. Now, once we have the graph, we could start to tap into the graph and build more intelligent and more proactive experiences. And one of these experiences is really Delve. And when Delve started off, it was really a discovery experience for documents. It was all about documents. And you know, you might have seen some demos back a year ago or 6 months ago. It was all about being able to discover documents that are trending around you, or being able to get back to the documents you care about with a few clicks. But now Delve is really evolving as we're adding two new scenarios. The first one is people. So Delve is becoming a bit like a professional profile. Like, think it like a LinkedIn for the enterprise. It's becoming around people-centric discovery. So you could go to Delve, edit your profile, update your profile picture, add your expertise, add your skills and whatnot. And then by doing so, others will be able to find information related to you or be able to find a subject matter expert like you. Another addition that we have recently announced is Delve Analytics. And Analytics is a separate add-on, meaning that discovery and people experiences come out of the box. But for analytics, you need to have an E5 SKU, meaning you have to get the premium license. And once you do that, it provides you a set of dashboards. These dashboards, which I'll show you shortly in a demo, allow you to see how you're using your time and how you could better improve the way you work and the way you collaborate with others. And we're able to do that by extracting additional insights from the graph that the discovery and the people scenarios are not able to do. So I'll stop right there before I dive into a demo. Any questions so far?
I think we're good so far. People are anxious to see what's new, what's coming.
All right, great. So let's skip over to my environment now. So what you're looking at is, this is my Delve, and you know, as I mentioned earlier, Delve is part of Office 365. So if you come into the app launcher here, it will be a new edition if you haven't seen it so far. And Delve has a set of views. You know, we have the home view, which is stuff that's trending around me. So this is a trending around me view. I have my me view, analytics, favorites, and then a list of people and boards. And I'll talk through all of these different views separately. So I usually start in my home view, and the reason why I do that is in the home view, Delve gives me that situational awareness of what's happening around me, what's trending around me. For instance, you'll see that there's a set of experiences. In this case, here's a video that I posted on the video portal, and as you can see that it's showing up as a card. So when I click on this, it will start playing the video. I see that there's 67 views here. If I come down here, let's see, here's a document Oleg has modified an hour ago. This is something that I care deeply about because Oleg and I have been working on this together. And now instead of me having to ask Oleg for the latest update, Delve already anticipated and brought that content in my view. So that's how it's becoming much more proactive. Now what you'll see here is we have these documents that are really personalized and tailored for me. Meaning that everything I see here is essentially things that I have permissions to see. So I will never see things that I don't have access to. As well as in these cards, we're actually giving insights about why I'm seeing something. You know, in this case, this is a document that Matt had modified. I see the title of the document. I see the preview of the document. I could send this document to people in my team. I could see who can see this. So this is a privacy thing we added to all of the document cards. So if I have any concerns about if this document's permissions have been set correctly, I could click on this, and what will happen is it will actually open up the permission control of that document, and I could adjust the permissions of that document right within place. I could post this to Yammer if I want to. So I click on Yammer here, and we have native Yammer integration within Delve. And it will open up a Yammer chatbot box here, and I could start to post my, I could start to bring people into the conversation.
So, Cam,
and that's another way we're trying to make discovery much more actionable.
Yeah,
but essentially what you're seeing here is this is stuff that is personalized and tailored to me. This is things that I already have access to, but Delve is just saving me time and bringing me the things that I care about above the noise. And things that I work with, things that are really relevant for me. When I come in the morning, I grab my cup of coffee and I get to see what's really happening around me. So that's essentially what we have as part of the discovery view. Now, if I want to get back to my own work, I could click me. So when I click me, this is my own profile. And this is a new experience we launched a little bit over a month ago, where you can start to see now it's becoming really people-centric. So I could change my profile picture here. I could edit my profile. These are the documents that I recently worked on. So think of it as like my own MRU. So I don't have to remember where everything is. So I click see all. And you can see that, you know, some of these documents are in my OneDrive. But then if I come down here, you see that, you know, some of these documents in other people's OneDrives. because you know they might have shared that with me and I might have done some modifications on that documents. Why should I, as a user, have to remember where everything is, where my work is? I can't remember every OneDrive. I can't remember every SharePoint team site. You know, in this case here, this is in the SharePoint team site, and then this is a document that I only have permissions for, so meaning that this has not been shared with anybody else. But what you're seeing here is instead of me having to remember where everything is, I just click me, and I get back to my work, regardless of where it is. It's regardless if it's in a SharePoint, in a OneDrive, in somebody else's OneDrive, it's an email attachment. I don't have to care about where stuff is. It's my work and it, with a very natural view, with a natural way of getting back to my stuff, I could get to it right away. Now, you see that I have my org chart here. These are the people that I closely work with. You can see that there's a new functionality we added. We're still working on this, so this is not available yet in production. Praise, where I could get to see the praises that people have given me. And I could even post a blog if I want to. Of course, this is an internal blog. This is where we're collaborating with the SharePoint team. So this is using the new SharePoint authoring canvas. And I could publish a blog internally. And when people come to my profile, they'll be able to read more about my work, as well as see the documents that are trending around me as well. So this is personalized for me, meaning that if you come to my profile, chances are you wouldn't see all of these documents here and here because they will be security trimmed for what you have permissions for. But nonetheless, this is my view. Now, if I go to somebody else's view, for instance, let's go to Katrine's profile. Now I have pivoted the graph and I'm looking at Katrine's profile. Now I get to see her profile information, her about me section, you know, information about her skills, her interests, as well as the recent documents Katrine has shared with me. And as it turns out, this is the number one reason why people use Dell today. So we've been in the market for over a year now, and we've been looking at usage data. And the reason why this is very successful is, you know, apparently when you're trying to find a document, you might not always remember the title of a document, the location of a document, or a certain keyword that matches that document, but you'll always remember the person who had worked on it or the person who has shared that document. So if I ever want to get back to this profile on people workshop document here, I might not search for it here. I might just search for Katrine's profile, and then I would just go to her profile, and by doing so, I'm able to navigate to that document right away. So what you're seeing now is instead of using search keywords to get back to content, we're using people as a proxy to get back to information, because that is a very natural thing. That is a very organic thing. We remember people more than we remember locational files or folders of files. And that's how we talk about knowledge management from the context of people that Dell is really pivoting on.
Yeah, hey, Cam.
Now, if I don't know anything about Katrina, I could see that the people that she's working with, of course, this is based on the signals that I have right to see. I could see her org chart. If I want to, I could send her a praise. So I could come here and I could send her a praise. I could say, thank you, expert, outstanding. I could put a bit of a text here. And when I send a praise, what will happen is it will send an email notification to her manager and my manager. And then if she accepted, it will actually post it into her profile so that others can see this praise as well. As well as I could also see the documents that are trending around her as well. So you could see that now Dell used to be all about documents, but we're now really pivoting on people and profiles. So you could think of Dell becoming a real people-centric experience. As a matter of fact, let me show you something else. If I come here to my OneDrive, if I come into my OneDrive here, this is my OneDrive. Let's wait for it to load. And let's see, I might see that Johannes has updated this document, as you can see here. So if I click on Johannes's name, you see that this little card pops up. This is something we call a people card. And this is available in everywhere in Office 365, in Outlook, in OneDrive, and SharePoint. And there's an action here called View Profile. If I click on this, it will automatically take me to Johannes's Dell profile. So you could start to see that now we're adding these quick actions in various experiences And Valve is really becoming that Office 365 profile that aggregates a holistic view of all the documents and that person's expertise in a single place. And that's essentially the heart of what we call Delve Profiles, really help you find content through people. So meaning that when I navigate to somebody's, when I navigate to some content, I might see the people that is working on that content, or I could go the other direction and I could find people through content. So that is going to be the set of investments that you'll see that will pump out as we make Delve more of an Office 365 profile that has intelligence baked in. So I'll stop right there. Any questions so far?
Yeah, I think we had a couple of questions. And I just wanted to make one comment. The whole idea also behind, you know, finding content through people, you know, just to your point where you said that that seems to be the most popular thing. I know whenever I present Delve to our customers, the scenario around, look, Joe, whoever is out of office, vacation, whatever, I need content from him. The idea of going to Delve and their profile and seeing all that content there, being able to access it, that is a huge differentiator that customers readily recognize even before using it.
That's right.
But we do have some questions. Steven, what do we got?
First question is from Jeff. Can we have structured returns of Delve information in place of the first screen? Or would that be a custom application?
So I don't know if you heard that, but
I can't hear it, so you might have to repeat that question.
I'll repeat it. It says, can we have, this was by Jeff, and he asked, can we have structured returns of Delve information in place of the first screen, or would that be a custom application?
So I guess the question is, right now in the home feed, we have this dynamic feed that's coming here, right?
Yep.
And the question is, can IT customize this, or can IT publish or pin certain content within this experience? Now, the answer is yes and no. And what I mean by that is, let me explain why it's no. Delve is a personal experience, meaning that this is a personal feed that is tailored for me. Meaning that it's based on dynamic activity, and this will always stay dynamic. But on the other hand, we're working with the SharePoint Portals team, and the SharePoint Portal team is actually looking to leverage Office Graph to make dynamic portals, and they're looking to provide similar functionalities with card-like experiences where IT or site collection admins can start to publish and make that experience much more created. And that's something that we had recently talked about, and I think you'll see more of these announcements come forward in the following months. But we have a really strong partnership with the Portals vision to make Office Graph a key aspect of making dynamic portals, but also adding some control, some publishing, some creation capabilities on top of that.
Cool. So we had another question.
Yes.
Can we change the way the profile page looks?
So were you able to hear that?
Yes. The question was, can we change the layout of how the profile page looks?
So that's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, I would say the profile experience is on Rails, meaning that, it's out of the box. There is a limited set of customizations that you can do.
Yeah.
We are looking to add custom properties and custom sections within the profile in the future, meaning that, for instance, some of our customers want to be able to add certificates or, qualifications on the profile.
Gotcha.
So you could think of adding another widget, another section on the profile, maybe that shows those certifications. But we have another customer that works with a lot of consultants, and they want to be able to add the languages their consultants can speak in there. We have another customer that wants to be able to add some kind of a resource management tool within here, or not the tool itself, but perhaps links and a quick overview or a quick dashboard of that showing up in the profile. So we're looking to make the profile a bit more customizable down the road, But it's a little bit too early for us to say how customizable that will be. But that is something that we're hearing quite often that I think we're going to start to tackle soon.
Okay, good.
Jeff has a part two to his first question.
Okay, so back from Jeff.
So can I make custom pages and applications that allow me to create tailored views to the underlying data driving Delve?
Yes. So all of the Office Graph APIs are available that Delve uses. So you could essentially build your own version of Delve in SharePoint or a different app by using the APIs we have today. You could find more information about this at graph.microsoft.io. And there we have documented the list of APIs that are available that you could start to build your own apps against.
Nice. So we're giving them this great app in Delve today, right? That does all these things that, you know, really out of the box, as long as you're pumping in content into your 365 piece, then they're going to get great value out of if they want to create those custom tailored experiences. They can go outside of Delve itself then, you know, today use the API and build those and host those kind of views elsewhere, maybe in their SharePoint environment.
That's right.
Awesome.
We even have some, you know, customers that are building their own mobile apps and whatnot. So, I mean, it's going to be really up to your imagination and how you want to slice and dice this information and then represent it within your user experiences.
Excellent. All right.
Great.
So why don't we go back to him full screen, Stephen, and continue on.
Great. All right. So the next part that I like to cover is, you know, we touched base on, you know, how Delve is becoming a people-centric experience. We talked about how it was a content-centric experience. But let's talk a little bit about the new component that we're adding as we speak called Delve Analytics. And what I'll do is I'll actually walk you through as part
of
a demo.
Cam?
Sorry?
Real quickly, we had a question early, and Dean, I apologize because Dean had posted this. He said, I don't have an analytics link on my Delve page. So can you address that real quick as you get ready to move in there?
That's right. So analytics is a new addition to Delve, but is only available for E5 SKUs, meaning E5 licenses.
Gotcha.
And if you have E5, this will be rolling out in the next few months. There was an early adopter program that we had announced, I believe, back in December. And now we're going through the exercise of rolling it out to those customers first. But then in the following months, we'll be enabling Delve Analytics to all of our customers that have the qualified licenses for it.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great. So if you do have E5, essentially you'll see this new edition called Analytics. And if you click on Analytics, what you see is a personal dashboard. And this is a personal dashboard powered by the Office Graph. In meaning that this is personalized to me, and that means that only I can see this dashboard for me, meaning that you know, Matt can see this, my manager can see this, nobody can see this. It is my own dashboard. And you can think of it like a Fitbit for the enterprise. You know, how we use Fitbit to currently track how, you know, how much calories we burn, you know, how much time, you know, how many steps we do, how effectively we sleep. You could think of this as a way to measure the way you collaborate, the way you spend time at work, a better way so that you could start to understand where you're wasting your time or where you should focus your time so that you could take corrective action on your side on the way you collaborate and then you work throughout the day. And to be able to do that, what this dashboard does is it actually gives you some anonymized and personalized information in the way of how I'm spending my time. For instance, you see that this is your time this week. You can see that I spent 14 hours in meetings this week. You know, this is quite high considering that, actually, let me just rephrase that. This is from last week. You can see that last week I spent 14.4 hours of meetings. And that's quite a bit. You know, I could come here, I could set a goal for myself. I could say my goal is to spend 10 hours in meetings every week. And looks like I have actually surpassed that goal. I also spent 11 hours on email. Meaning that that's the time I spent writing email and reading email. Of course, this isn't exact science. This is based on an assumption we have on the length of an email and the amount of time people spent reading and writing emails. And then you see that I had 23 hours of focus time. So this is really good, meaning that this was the time that I had where I was uninterrupted, that I didn't have any meetings back to back, that this was a time that I could really get some quality work done. On the other hand, my work-life balance is not that good, because looks like I spent over 8 hours outside of business hours. And there's a reason for that, because in my job, I work with a lot of folks in Norway, as well as a lot of folks in China. So I have all of these like late night calls due to time zone differences, because I'm based in Seattle. And you can imagine that that's actually impacting my after hours. But nonetheless, this is good for me to see. So this dashboard gives me a quick overview of how I spent my time last week. But it could also gives me additional capabilities where I could start to dive deeper into this data. For instance, this is my network view. And on the left side, I get to see the key people that I collaborated with last week. Looks like I was working a lot with Peter, because we're actually working on a launch with Frederick and Johannes as well. And I even get to see my response time. So if Peter sent me an email, I typically responded in 1.5 hours. And this is pretty true, because we were working, it was a bit of a crunch time for us, and we were really working hard on this launch. But also, there's another interesting view. I get to see the people that I'm losing touch with. This is something that might be relevant for me, that might be important for me. Maybe I might want to send them out an email or schedule a meeting with them. Or based on my job role, maybe this is something really, really important for me. Maybe these are my customers, my partners that I should be working closely with. And this could be a good indicator based on my job role that I should be engaging with these customers and partners so that we have a really, really successful business. Now, of course, the great thing about this dashboard is it doesn't tell you what's right or what's wrong. It gives you the insights and the information and lets you be the judge because it's based on your job role, based on your company culture, based on the way you work. Things might be different than the person sitting next to you, and that's okay. But if you could get a sense of how you're spending your time and how you're collaborating with others, then you could decide what's the right thing for you, and this tool can help you accomplish that. Now, another thing this tool helps with is to understand how much time you're spending with your manager, because one-on-one time with manager is a great indicator for career growth. And as you can see that I'm actually, last week I spent a good 4 hours with my manager. We had a few meetings, as well as, when he writes me an email, I usually respond to him in 4 hours. And, if I respond to him, he responds to me quicker than that. So that's good for me to see as well. Now, here's another interesting insight. This is about email activity. And as you can see, I spent last week 4.6 hours writing emails and 6.7 hours reading emails. That's good for me to see. There's a lot of stuff that's happening in my team, so I'm trying to catch up with that, and that makes a lot of sense. But we also give the company average. So this is an average across whole Microsoft, meaning that on average, we're spending 7.0 hours a week on email. Is this a good number? Is this a bad number? I don't know. But what I do know is, compared to my average, it looks like I'm doing good. Compared to my average, looks like I'm above the company average, and I'm spending a lot of time on email. Now, I could also see some email habits. So if I email somebody, a specific person, then I know that last week 90% of those people actually read that email. Now, it will never tell me who those people are, because that's anonymized, that's private information. It just gives me the anonymized aggregated averages for me to see. If I sent an email to a group, only 67% of the people in that group usually read that email, and that's good for me to know. Now, if somebody sends me an email, then I will potentially read that email, but if there's email sent to groups, I don't typically read those emails. And there's a reason for that, because I'm part of a lot of DLs and a lot of groups. But maybe I should start to take myself away from those groups. Maybe those groups are not that impactful for me. And that's a good bite size of information that this analytics is actually providing to me that I could see as well. Now, if I come down here, you see that there's also this focus hours. So I get to see that my focus hours has increased. And there's a reason for that. I actually reduced the number of meetings I had last week. and I could see the impact of this as well. So I have more focus hours. It's still not at the company average level, but it surely is getting better, and I have met my goal here as well. And I could see my focus hours broken up into days. So you could see that, you know, on certain days, on average, I have 4 hours of meetings each day. And on Friday, I had no meeting. And that was a reason for that, because I really wanted to get work done. So I canceled all my meetings on Friday. And actually, I got a lot of things done. And that's the way this tool can really help me understand this. I see the impact of the change I did on the way I work, on the way I approach things. And this tool actually helped me confirm the positive impact of that change that I have done. So you could think of this as a way for you to better manage your time and how you work. Now, when it comes to after hours, you see that last week on Tuesday and Wednesday, I had a lot of meetings with Norway and China. And there is no way around me for this, just because the way my job is set up, I have to collaborate with these different teams. But nonetheless, this is a good indicator as well for work-life balance. You know, we always feel like we're overwhelmed, but now we could actually put some metrics behind that feeling. So it's not just a feeling, but we actually have something concrete so that we could start to week over week try to improve this and start to change things around, change the way we set up meetings or change the way we respond to emails, so we could be we could feel much more control over the way we work and the way we spend our time. And here's another insights on meeting hours. We're also working on a new concept called meeting efficiency. And what that means is eventually this dashboard will give me the meetings that it thinks were efficient and meetings that it thinks were not that efficient. And the way we could do that is, let's say you have 10 people in a meeting room. And if out of that 10 people, 8 people are sending and writing emails, chances are that meeting is not that efficient. So we could start to generate some scores for how people are multitasking in meetings and use that as a way to let you know that there are meetings that you're attending that is not that impactful, or people are actually multitasking during those meetings. And chances are that's something that you should consider, that if you want to be part of those meetings, or you want to shorten those meetings, or you want to set the agenda very concrete and the goals of those meetings so people actually are much more focused and to get what you really need out of that meeting versus spending time going to those week-to-week meetings. So like I said earlier, this is a very, very early view of the dashboard that's coming with Delve Analytics. This is a personal dashboard, meaning that it's anonymized, it's aggregated. Nobody could see my data, nor can I see anybody else's data. I can never identify who has read my emails or who has not read my emails. It always gets an aggregate view. It always gives an anonymized view. And by doing that, for instance, if there's less than 5 people in the email, it actually will not show an average view of that. It requires at least 5 people to be in that email to be able to give that aggregate view. So I'll stop right there. That was a quick overview of Delve Analytics. Any questions so far that I can help out with?
So Stephen, we have some questions.
Yeah. When we're talking about email hours, does that work if you're using the Outlook web app, or does it just have to be the actual client?
It will work with both. It will work with the Outlook client as well as the Outlook web app.
Cool. That's news to me. I didn't know that, so I'm glad to find that out as well. What else you got, Stephen?
We've got one more question. Can your manager drill down into the team members' metrics and see how the team is reading emails?
We don't have that functionality. There is no team dashboard available today. In the future, we're looking to add a team dashboard, but that team dashboard will be customized in such a way that the manager will never be able to see individuals' averages. It will only be able to see an aggregate view of those averages. And we will limit it to a minimum 5 people, and the IT admin can configure that minimum number, but it can't go below 5 people. So that means that if a manager has 5 people reporting to him, but the IT has set it to 10 people minimum, then only the manager above that will be able to see the average of at least 10 people and beyond.
And that, I think that's important. I've had a lot of customers come in and say, you know, get concerned and say, whoa, we've got all this data coming about, you know, Does that mean it's going to be like the thought police or the, you know, all this stuff, and it's going to get people hesitant? And knowing that you're going to be able to see what's the overall state at some point, but not necessarily nitpicking, you know, micromanaging every little feature. I think that's important.
That is right. That is right. I mean, as a team manager, you should know that your team on average is, you know, spending too much time on email or spending too much on meetings. And as a manager, that should be sufficient enough information for you to find better ways they could do their job and better collaborate. You don't necessarily need to provide individual level analytics on that, nor do we want to for privacy reasons.
Right.
In addition, Delve Analytics and Delve both have tenant and user level opt-out. So a user at any point can decide to opt out of Delve Analytics, and their insights will be anonymized and taken out of these dashboards. So it's, you know, every single user and every single company will have control over on how they roll this out and how it fits in their cultural evolution in the cloud.
Excellent. Did you have another question?
Final question. What are the plans to display O365 group content as well as plans in Delve?
So I could not hear that question. Yeah. If you could repeat that, Mike.
Yeah, so let me pull it up on mine here. It says, this comes from Dean. He says, what are the plans to show Office 365 group content as well as plans? You know, they have the new planner. That data in Delve. And I think I know the answer, but I'll let you.
Yeah, so group content is coming as we speak. We're working on that. We will add content that is shared within public groups, and you could discover that within profiles as well as within the home view. We still have some work to do on private groups. Just the nature private groups are set up, we need to limit it to only the members of that private group.
Right.
So there's going to be some work needed there for us to be able to support that.
Okay.
Now, Planner is really new, and you know, Planner is still going through its maturity state. As Planner matures, we'll also make sure to you know, support that as part of another object type within the Office Graph. As you know, Delve is powered by the Graph, so anything that feeds into the Graph will eventually make its way into Delve.
Beautiful. And that brings up, there was a follow-up by Dean. I see, saying while you were answering that, he posted one more. What are the plans to show Yammer content in Delve?
Yeah. So as a matter of fact, we already started to have some Yammer content in Delve. In the home view, you know, if somebody posts a URL or link in a public Yammer group that is trending around you, it will actually show up in Delve saying that somebody posted that in Yammer. So we are pulling in Yammer signals for trending around to enrich that view.
Gotcha.
What we haven't done is added Yammer activity into the profile experiences yet. We are looking in the future to better connect the Office 365 Delve profile with the Yammer profile. And when we do that, I think there'll be a better harmony with those. But that is a little bit down the road.
And real quickly, I guess this is for my own edification. Are we looking to do, you know, just, I know with the Office Graph, right, the underlying, the underpinnings of that is really around that very robust indexing service that we have, where we're indexing basically everything with all the metadata attributes, et cetera, and being able to build these views. As you look at Yammer, are we looking to leverage indexing or some other way? I don't know if that's even can be discussed, but I've had customers ask me about that.
Yeah, I don't think we... I don't think we plan to index everything in Yammer within Office Graph. There's a couple reasons for that, you know, just because of the sheer size of it. But what we are looking to do is, expose content being discussed within Yammer into the Graph and therefore Delve.
Gotcha.
So keep it at a content level versus conversation level. I don't think bringing in every conversation into Delve is going to be the right thing.
Okay.
Also, as you know, Yammer could be used standalone, meaning that you could be using Yammer standalone and not be part of Office, Office 365 natively. Mm-hmm. And as part of that, you know, Yammer still requires its own capabilities to be able to run as a standalone service, which means that if we try to index it, we would be replicating Yammer content.
Gotcha.
Yep. Great. Any other questions so far?
Is that it, Steven?
Yep.
All right, that's it for now. Yep.
Great, great. So let me just wrap up a few things. As I mentioned earlier, for Dell Analytics, we have user level and tenant and admin level opt-outs. There's also exclusion rules admins can set. You know, admins can say, I don't want these senior people data showing up in Dell Analytics. I want to exclude finance, or I want to exclude certain HR teams out of Dell Analytics. So they could actually do that exclusion based on these rules.
Nice.
And as I mentioned earlier, we also have a minimum group size that is set to 5, but the admins can also increase that minimum group size as well. Now, when it comes to privacy, both Delve and Delve Analytics are, fully compliant within Office 365. They inherit existing permissions, meaning that both of them do not change any of the existing permissions. So whatever you use today, Delve is just a window into that. Of course, there'll be some customers that might think, you know, hey, did I set the permissions correctly to begin with? And for that, as you had seen earlier in my demo, on those Delve cards, we actually added these actions that allow you to see who can see this. So we're taking those precautious measures so that if you have any doubts at any point in time on a specific document, you could click that and correct those permissions if you had accidentally set them wrong. In addition to that, it's part of the compliance zone. And we do have training material available in office.com for end users as well as IT admins. And I think you'll start to see us provide even more content for Dell Analytics as we continue to roll that out. Now, last but not least, just wanted to talk to you about the licenses that I think this was a question that already came up.
Yep.
The discovery and the people scenarios are available for all eligible Dell licenses. Only the analytics is available as part of Office 365 E5, or there's actually a separate Dell Analytics add-on, meaning that you could be on E1, E3, or the corresponding small, medium business plans, and you don't want to go to E5, you could actually just add the Dell Analytics add-on license, and then you could get that lighted up in your environments. And it's per user level, meaning that maybe you have 10,000 people working in your company, but you only want to enable Dell Analytics for that 1,000 people. You could cherry pick those people and make that available only for them. The aggregated view of those, company averages will be done across the whole company, but only those 1,000 people will have access to that dashboard as part of their license. We also have Delve on iOS and Android. We are working on a Windows 10 universal app, and that is something that we'll hope to have some announcements in the following months. But you could start to try out Delve on mobile today with iOS and Android. Keep in mind, iOS and Android versions only support the Discover and People scenarios. They do not include the Delve Analytics.
Right.
Delve Analytics is only available on the web version today. All right, so that was a quick overview of how Delve started as a content-centric experience. It's becoming about profiles in Office 365. And how we're kind of putting the graph to work with Delve Analytics and some of the future dashboard that will come as part of that. So I'll stop right there. Any questions so far? Anything else that you guys would like me to touch base on and cover? Please let me know.
Do we have any?
Jeff just says thank you for answering all my questions.
Awesome. So Jeff thanked you for his question, answering everything. I think it's been, I learned stuff, so. For me, it's been a great session as well. And I'm just really excited. I think whenever we show people Delve, going back to the very beginning, Cam, when you were showing and talking about how, it's personalizing the experience. I've actually had a number of customers, as I explain how I use it, and I show how that's really where I start my day now, right? Because I'm learning things I don't know what I don't know, but Delve time and time again continues to connect me to people and information that are important to me to get my job done. And I think that's what most people care about. That's what they want to see. And when we can provide that kind of an experience, that's valuable. You know, it's much more valuable for most folks than the typical homepage of an intranet.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, definitely. I think there's some really great promise there. I would love to learn more about how you guys use it. And please let me know if you have any questions in the future as well.
And if they want to get a hold of you, are you out on the Office 365 Yammer?
Yes, I am. I am part of the Office 365 IT network. So you could just find me there, and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions.
Awesome. So we'll put a link to that. You can always Bing it, folks. And I want to thank you, Kim, for joining us today. Also, Rich Ross and Steven, our producer. And we're past the hour, so I guess it's time to sign off. So thank you very much. And everybody,
thank you, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Have a great day, everyone. Take care, and we'll check you next week on Midday Cafe. Ciao.